Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they would never perish. What Jesus is saying, you're not mine. I can talk all day to you. I can show you signs, and you're still not going to believe. The reason why? Because you're not mine. You haven't been chosen. I haven't chosen you. You're not mine. Now, this is the sovereignty of God is something that us human beings, we wrestle with this. Because we believe in our minds that we're really in control of all things that are going on in our lives. But the Bible clearly states that sovereignty means that God is in control. Sovereignty means that God is in control. He is in control of this world. He is in control of what happens to you. Matter of fact, God is even in control of your salvation. Now people don't like that. Well, I found God. No, you didn't. God's never been lost. He has never been lost. God found you. Sheep don't find the shepherd. Shepherd find sheep. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, the reason why you don't believe because you are not my sheep. You're not mine. Because my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's what God, Jesus said, my sheep do that. He says, sovereignty, God's in control. And you think you're in control of what's going on, Pharisees? You have no clue. You're not in control of who I am, what I'm going to do. God's in control, even in control of you not believing. They don't believe. And I believe because God is in control, we can share the gospel without fear or manipulation. Because God is in control, we can share the gospel without fear or manipulation. Jesus was not afraid of the Pharisees. He wasn't trying to manipulate them. He just says, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you don't believe it, it's not my problem. It's your problem. And the reason why you can't believe is because you're not my sheep. You don't belong to me. And so for us as Christians, our main goal is to preach the gospel to a crowd of people. And the crowd of people that are out there, when they hear the shepherd's voice, they will come. As I told you the example last week, there's four shepherds. You got all these sheep in the pen. The shepherd walks up there to all those sheep, and he makes a sound, and only the sheep that belong to the shepherd will come out and follow the shepherd. So even today, whether you're in the church or not, the fact that when you hear the voice of God, when the gospel is proclaimed to you, and you hear it, it's because the fact that you believe it is because that Jesus is saying, you're my sheep. And that's why when we preach the gospel, we are looking for the sheep to hear Jesus' voice. I said this on today when I was talking to the guys on base. I became a Christian 16 years ago. And I can remember how it happened, where it happened, what took place. I was in the church, in the back of the church, like some of you, in the back row. And I'm sitting there, and the pastor is preaching. He's sharing the gospel. He's talking about how God loves you, God cares for you. And I'm listening to what he is saying, and something inside of me is taking place. I'm saying, I believe what he's saying, and I want what he is saying. I want that Jesus he's talking about. And when he gave an invitation, I don't know, I was in the back, and before I knew it, I was up front crying, slobbing out there, crying, saying, he said, well, son, what do you want? I said, I want Jesus, man. Now, you say, well, what happened? Here's what happened. I heard the shepherd call my name. Amen. And I had no choice but to come. Because he called my name at the right time, and I got up and came to the shepherd. And he said, how do you know that was Jesus calling you? How do you know that, Pastor? The reason why I know that he said that my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. They follow me. The reason why I knew it was Jesus, because I told you it was Jesus. I said it, Jesus called me. And the reason why I know it was Jesus, because right now today at 1:05, I'm following that shepherd right now. Amen. I'm following him right now. Right now, I believe, it happened 16 years ago, but right now, presently, I believe that shepherd called me then, he's calling me now, and I am following him right. Matter of fact, I followed the shepherd right here to the schoolhouse today. The shepherd is here, amen. And I'm following him. Amen. So that's all I can tell you. It was Jesus that called me then. I'm still following him. Now, have I always followed him perfectly? No. But I've always known who my shepherd was. It's Jesus. And the question for you, do you know who your shepherd is? The question for you, are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you following him? And what's the proof of that? Are you being obedient to him? Because God is sovereign. God sovereignly chose me when I thought that I was in control of my salvation or even in control of my life. I was not in control. Jesus is in control. Now, for most of us, that kind of messes us up. Because we just hear it, we believe it. The Pharisees saw Jesus in the flesh. How many of you have saw Jesus in the flesh? Now, if you raise your hand, we're going to take you right now and take you to the hospital. There's a white jacket with your name on it. Nobody has saw Jesus in the flesh, correct, in this room. But yet, if I ask you, how many of you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Amen. I believe that. I never saw him, but I believe that. The Pharisees saw him and didn't believe. How many of you have ever saw a blind person be healed right before your eyes? Have you seen a blind person get their sight? I never saw that. Have you? I haven't saw that. But I believe Jesus is able to do it. Now, I haven't seen Jesus heal blind people. Like now, it's like the alcoholic said this. He was a wino. I mean, just always out there. His wife couldn't find him. He's always out there on payday getting drunk and just spending money. And one day, he gets saved. And so he's going to church and clean himself up and he gets saved. And one of his buddies said, man, do you believe Jesus can turn water to wine? I mean, come on. I mean, you believe that crazy stuff? Now, the guy who's been sober said, no. He said, hey, listen, I don't know whether he can turn water to wine, but I know he can turn wine into furniture. You know, he took my money that I was spending on liquor, and now we have furniture in the house. We have all kinds of, we have clothes in the house. He turned that wine into some furniture. And my wife is happy he did. See, what he was saying, Jesus Christ transformed my life. So I haven't seen Jesus heal a blind man, but I have seen him transform a life. I've seen that. And I believe that he's able to do that. So that's why we can share the gospel without fear or manipulation, because when it comes down to it, you believe it has nothing to do with me. I can preach eloquently, I can preach not eloquently, and it's not about whether what you heard, it's not about how good I say it. It's about the Holy Spirit of God and you being sensitive to what the shepherd is saying to you. And that's why most of us got to quit trying to manipulate people. Trying to argue somebody into the kingdom. You can't do that. You can't argue someone into the kingdom. Let's have a debate. And if I win, you get saved. That's not how it happens. Let's argue. Let's have a Bible study. Let me show you. And once I prove it to you, you're going to believe. No, they're not. Unless the Holy Spirit of God and they hear the voice of Jesus, they're never going to believe. I don't care if they read Genesis to Revelation, including the maps. They won't believe. Because salvation is a work of God. And all we are called to do is to proclaim it without fear and without manipulation. We must say, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we stand back and watch the Holy Spirit does his work. Because Jesus says, all who hear my voice will come. The sad news is, not everybody's going to come. Seriously, not everybody's going to come. Not everybody's going to be saved. Now, everybody in your family is going to heaven. Some of them are going to hell. Some of your friends are going to go to hell. Some of your neighbors are going to go to hell. Not because they didn't hear the gospel, because they refused to believe it. Now, we don't like talking about that, but Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. Jesus only gives eternal life to his sheep. He's not giving it to goats. He gives it to sheep. And the question for you and I today to ask yourself, are you a sheep or a goat? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Or are you following him? Because God is sovereign. And he wants you to know he's in control. And Jesus says the reason why those Pharisees could not believe is because they were not his sheep. The reason why that loved one, that friend, that neighbor, that co-worker can't believe because they're not his. That's deep theological truth, but it's truth. Jesus said it, not me. So sovereignty of God means God's in control. Because God's in control, we can share the gospel without fear or without manipulation. See, that's why we don't have to beg people to get saved. As a preacher, I just preach the gospel, give an invitation. Nobody responds, okay. Now, the key to this is the fact people always say, well, nobody responded. Everybody responds to the gospel. See what we believe, okay, now everybody right today, after I finish preaching, everybody in here is going to respond to what I just said. Some way, form, or fashion. You're going to leave here and say, oh, but that was pretty good. And that's going to be it. Now, some of you are going to say, man, I need to read. I think God was speaking to me. I need to do something about what he just said. And you're going to respond in some way, form, or fashion, in obedience. Now, some of you are going to respond in disobedience. You're going to walk out of here and say, well, that was good. I'll see what he has next week. See, can he do it again? And that's going to be it for you. But the key to this, you're responsible for what you hear before God. When you hear the gospel, you are now responsible and you can't plead ignorance or the fifth. Nope, can't do it. God is sovereign. Secondly, the security of the believer. Jesus talks about that. The security of the believer. Now, this is where we really get into a lot of arguments here. Now, the sovereignty of God gets you, then the security really gets you. Now, we say something like this right here. Okay, do you believe, Pastor? Once saved, always saved. Now, that becomes the language we kind of talk about. Do you believe once saved, always saved, or can a person lose their salvation? Well, I'm going to say, don't ask me. Let's ask Jesus. How about that? Amen. Let's ask the shepherd about his sheep. Can a sheep be lost from the shepherd? Okay, let's look at verse 27. My sheep, whose sheep are they? Yes. Jesus' sheep, right? Hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So let's take it on his own merit. Jesus says, my sheep, I give them something. Eternal life. I give it to them. They never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Matter of fact, they're in my hand. My Father has given them to me. He's greater than all. And they can't snatch them out of his hand. So when you look at this question, Jesus said his sheep are secure. They're in the pen. Every one of Jesus' sheep is accounted for. Now, one thing we say when we have inspections in the military, everybody line up, and the guy says, sir, all present and accounted for. Everybody's present, and they're accounted for. Nobody's lost. We don't know you a sheep. You unauthorized. You AWOL. You just go. You just UA. Just know where you are. No, not Jesus' sheep. He know where his is. They're in the pen. And he says they are secure. We talked about that last week about Jesus being the door. He puts his sheep in the pen and he says that there's only one way in, one way out. And what the shepherd does at night, he tucks them in, puts them to sleep, and he lays across the door. Go to sleep. Meaning the fact that can no one get to him? Can no one get out? In other words, Jesus said, over my dead body. You're not getting in my sheep. And Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. So here's what eternal security means. That we can rest in the provision, protection, and the power of the shepherd. You can rest in the provision, protection, and the power of the shepherd. Because we got to understand something. Eternal life is unconditional. Jesus says, I give it. He didn't say the sheep can earn it, right? Because if you earn it, then it means it's yours. He says, I give it to you. I give you eternal life. That's why it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it's for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, it is the gift of God. Not of your own, lest anyone could boast. So your salvation is really a gift from God. And this is so amazing when we think about it. At this passage, Jesus says also that we are a gift from the Father to him. Now, look what he says in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me. In other words, he says, because Jesus was going to die on the cross and laid down his life for you and I, the Father gave him me. I mean, that's what he says. That we are a gift from the Father to Jesus. My Father has given them to me. And Jesus says, I haven't lost anything the Father has given me. And we're going to see about that in John 17 when he prays and says, Lord, I have kept those you've given me. Have not lost not one. So eternal security means that we can rest in the provisions, protection, and power of the shepherd. Now, some Christians have a hard time with this. They say, well, I think a person can lose their salvation. But now when they say that, they're not talking about themselves. They're talking about me. Right. I think you can lose yours, but I'm good. But you may be lose yours. See, they're never talking about themselves. They're talking about somebody else. I don't know if he's saved or not, but me, I'm good. And what that means is this, if you can't earn salvation. And many of us have a problem with the grace of God. Because the grace of God means the fact that God freely gives it, and then you can do, you can't earn it. We say, well, man, that's kind of like cheap grace. That's not cheap grace. Jesus Christ purchased that grace. There's nothing cheap about Jesus. Nothing cheap about grace. Because eternal life was purchased by Jesus. And there's nothing worse than a Christian believing they can lose their salvation. They don't have a right view of the shepherd. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. He takes care of his own. And Wayne Grudem talks about this. He says that you need to ask three questions that a Christian should ask of himself or herself to see, okay, wait a minute now. Am I secured? Key thing, do I have a present trust in Christ for salvation? Yes. Is there evidence of a regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in my heart? Yes. Do I see a long-term pattern of growth in my Christian life? So now, when we talk about eternal security, we are talking about from the standpoint of the shepherd. And that's where we really mess it up, because when we think about eternal security, we're looking at the sheep, not the shepherd. You got to look at what the shepherd said about his sheep, not at what the sheep are doing. Look at what the shepherd says. Once again, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He's talking about himself. In other words, the question you need to ask yourself, do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to keep you saved? Yes. Do you believe Jesus Christ is able to keep you secure? Yes. Because now here's the key to this. And this is what A.W. Tozer said. It is true. He said, listen, if your salvation depended upon you, you would be saved only a day. You'd be gone. You would be off the pins, gone. I put an APB out on you. You'd be gone. And what he says, the only thing keeping you saved is Jesus. Amen. Now, see, that we don't like that. But it's true. The only thing keeping you saved and me saved is the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the thing about this, it is not us holding on to Jesus' hand. Amen. I'm yet holding on. No, you've been let go of that hand. No, you've been let go. It's not you holding on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to you. Amen. Because, see, if I'm holding on to Jesus, then my grip is not that strong. That's right. I can get snatched away. But Jesus says, no one snatched him out of my hand. See, I'm in his hand. And then he says that I'm in Jesus' hand. And whose hand is Jesus in? The Father's hand. Amen. I mean, that's a security. I mean, you are in good hands with Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't care what the Allstate commercials say. That's a lie. You are not in good hands with Allstate. You are in good hands with the Almighty God. Amen. You're in good hands with him. And you can sleep good at night because all is secure. You are secure in Jesus Christ. And you should never question the security of the shepherd for you. He got you. If you are his, you are secure. And we're not giving a blanket statement for people who just don't care about Jesus, that come 1 minute, they come down the aisle, cry, get baptized, and as soon as they go, ain't even dried off yet, they already back down on the corner doing their own thing. Never see them again. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus made clear again who his sheep are and how they respond. Let's read it again to get it in our minds. I want you to know what he says. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. If you don't hear the shepherd's voice, you're not his sheep. If you're not following Jesus, you're not his sheep. I don't care if you say, I grew up in church, I was baptized. No, the question to ask you, are you hearing his voice? Are you following him? If the answer is no, you're not his sheep. Sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They follow him. That talks about an intimate, personal relationship with the shepherd. And I said again, the strength of the sheep is the flock. The strength of the sheep is the flock. They rely upon the protection of the shepherd. I'm going to tell you this. Every sheep that Jesus has, he puts them in a pen. Now, I'm going to tell you what that pen is. Here on earth, that pen is a church. So when I hear sheep say they are sheep of Jesus, and they don't go to nobody's church, they ain't a part of nobody's church, that's a red flag for me. Now, I won't go as far as Mark Denver says, but this is what he says. If you are a sheep of Jesus Christ and you're not a part of a local flock, he doubt whether or not you even saved. Because sheep will run to other sheep. They will flock together. And some people say, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Yes, you can. You can't. I'm not saying you can't. But when you start living like that, and you start saying that with that much ease and not that much like conviction, saying, why am I not a part of a church? There's a problem in your life. I would question whether or not you're hearing from the shepherd. Because Jesus, even though he was the Christ, the Messiah, I said to you, where was he at this time? He was at the Feast of Dedication. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles. He was celebrating what the Jews celebrated, the festival. He was there. So I would like to say that God's sheep are finding the flock on Sunday. They're there. They're at the flock somewhere. So I want to just tell you that when you start living your life apart from the flock and apart from God, you might want to start questioning am I hearing from Jesus? Am I following him? I told you a story before. Lady told me at this church she was praying for her son. Want him to come back to church. I kept asking her, well, why? She said, well, I know he's a Christian. I want him to come back to church. I said, well, why do you say he's a Christian? Well, because he got baptized a long time ago. I raised him in Sunday school. Well, how long has that been, man? About 25 years ago. Now he didn't want nothing to do with church. Ain't done reading no Bible, shacking up with somebody. He's just gone. So I asked her, man, what biblically make you think he's a sheep? She said, well, because he got baptized. He went to Sunday school. I just told you. I said, ma'am, Jesus' sheep hear his voice. He know them and they follow him. So I pray that he come and hear the gospel and hear the shepherds. Because when he hear the shepherd, he will follow the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd lead, he will go. So we got a lot of people claiming that that's their shepherd, but they're not following him. So Jesus is talking about to the Pharisees, sovereignty of God, you can't believe because you're not my sheep. If you were my sheep, you would hear what I'm saying, and you would be following me, and you would be secure in the hands of the shepherd, Almighty God. So he talks about that. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So our third point is also, we're going to talk about the superiority of Jesus Christ. the superiority of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 30. This is what got him. They want to kill him. I and the Father are one. Now, he was good till he said that. I and the Father are one. Now, many people will say to us, Jesus never claimed to be God. He never claimed that, they would say. And I'll say to you, this is one of the clearest statements you can ever make. And not only that, don't read what he says. Also read the response of those who heard him say what he said. And tell, and you let, and you, now you convince them he didn't say that. Look at verse 31. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, why are you trying to kill me? I mean, why are you trying to kill a brother? What's going on? Here's what they said. We ain't trying to kill you for what you've done. We want to kill you for what you just said. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. They heard exactly what he said. When he said, I and the Father are one, they said, now you cross the line. And they reached down and picked up stones. Said, you have crossed the line and we are going to kill you. Because in Jewish religion, if anyone, that was blasphemy. When you claim to be equal with God. And they were going to kill him because of that. So we have Jesus Christ is superior than anyone that ever lived, that ever lives. Now, that was not a typo in what I said. And so we talk about that. Jesus has a superior message. He had a superior birth, virgin born. His message was, if you believe in me. He also had a superior, what I call, life or morality. Now, there are many other religions say they have a leader or someone that they follow, but they would never say this. They would never say that their leader was sinless. Jesus claimed to be sinless. Not only that, Jesus claimed that his death, that he was dying not for his sin, but for everybody else's sins. And he claimed that he was dying voluntarily. That I'm doing it, and he talked about when he was going to die, how he was going to die. So we see the superiority even over Moses. Hebrews talks about that. That Jesus Christ is more superior than Moses, and the Jewish people banked their life on Moses and the law. And Hebrews says Jesus Christ is more, he's more exalted than Moses. His message is superior. His miracles. He said, we never saw someone open the eyes of a blind man. That never happened. Jesus did it. Jesus' mighty works testify of him. And because his works testify of him, I mean, we should believe him. And that's letter A. Because Jesus Christ is the most superior person that ever lives, we can trust his works and his words. Now I say he ever lived, now he lived. Lived mean past it. Lives mean he's still living. He's present. See, our Savior is not dead. He's alive. He ever lives. And thank God he ever lives, because the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. See, where is Jesus at right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. And what is Jesus doing? He is sitting down. In Romans 8, it says Jesus Christ is sitting down, but he's not being silent. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for you and I. That right now, Jesus Christ is praying for his sheep. He's at the right hand of God, but he's interceding for you and I. See, that should do something to you when I tell you, Mikhail, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you, Lynette. Jesus is praying for you. That's powerful. He said, Jesus Christ is praying for me to the Father. See, my prayers might not get through, but I know Jesus' prayers get through to the Father. He's praying for you. And we should see Jesus Christ's prayers been answered on earth in our lives. We should see those prayers answered in our lives. We can trust the works and the words of Jesus Christ. Why can we do that? Look at verse 32. Jesus answered them and said, I have shown you many good works from the Father. And see, I love what Jesus said. He always points back to the Father. He said, everything I did is from the Father. He gives all glory to the Father. Then he says, for which of them are you going to stone me? They said, we're not stoning you because of that. We just want to kill you because you said you are a man, make yourself God. See, they had a low view of Jesus. Here they say, it said, you being a man, make yourself God. That's a low view of Jesus. See, I have a high view of Jesus, and the Apostle John does too. He says, God became a man. That's different. See, Jesus was not a man who made himself God. He was God who became man. That's what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. All things were created through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Then you drop down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then it says, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son, full of what? Grace and truth. See, it's a high view of Jesus. He's the God-man. See, the only thing I can do, the closest I can come to that is be a man of God. That's it. I mean, that's it. I can be a man of God, and that's what I'm trying to be, but I can never be the God-man. Only one person has that designation, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. He is the Son of God. That's a high view of Jesus. Because we have that high view of Jesus, we can look at this. He says in verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. If you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Here we go again, verse 39. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. In other words, Jesus said the proof is in the pudding. If he said, listen, if you don't believe my words, just check out what I'm doing. Look at my works. And I'm telling you that everything that I'm doing is pointing to the Father. Jesus said, the way I live my life and the miracles I've done is pointing back to Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. When we preach the gospel, it says also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, it says, let your light show shine before men that they may do what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And what that says about you and I, that we should live in such a way and we should do some great works that should point to the Father. In other words, my life and your life should point to Jesus. How we live our lives should point to that God is working in us. That's why Paul can say in Philippians 1, verse 6, he says that, hey, I am confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in me and through me for his glory. And the question for you and I as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, does my life reflect the work of God in me? And if my life is a reflection of Jesus Christ, are people being drawn to Jesus because of me? That is key. Jesus said, the works that I do point to the Father. If you don't believe my words, believe my work that I'm doing for God. And what Jesus is saying in that scripture, now that scripture is, you have to wrestle with that Psalm 82. He talks about that in verse 1 and then also in verse 6. But Jesus is saying that when that Psalm was written, God was calling the human judges. He was saying the word Elohim could mean God, also could mean judges. And what he was saying that these human judges represent me and they do my bidding on earth. In other words, and also in Romans chapter 13, it says this, that government officials are God's instruments to execute judgment on those who do evil. And so in other words, God can say, I choose leaders and I dethrone leaders. Because he says, in other words, he says that any leader in the world, they're actually my instrument. Now what you mean, this is key for us. God is sovereign. God is in control. Now this is going to blow our mind. I want you to know that even though that President Barack Obama is the President of the United States, he is God's president. Now, I mean, he is the one that God said, I've sovereignly allowed him to be president. I've chosen him. Now, I'm going to hold him accountable for how he governed, but he is mine. You see, oh, I don't believe that. Okay, read Daniel. Read the book of Daniel. When God says to Daniel, I have chosen Nebuchadnezzar to carry out my punishment on Israel. A wicked king, a pagan king, God said, I've chosen. I'm going to use him to spank my own children. Matter of fact, the prophet Haggai was upset about that. God, are you telling me you're going to use a nation that's more wicked than us to chastise us? God said, yep, because I control everything. And so he's saying they act as a representative of God. I can call them government or gods. And what Jesus is saying, these human guys act as God's representative, but I came down. I was sent from heaven, from God, and the works that I'm doing point to God. And so I can say I'm the Son of God. And what he's saying, I have more credibility than they do. Because I was sent from God, and my works testify that I'm doing good works to the glory of God. Because not all persons that are in charge of nations do good work. They use it for themselves. And God punishes them too. Ask Nebuchadnezzar what he did when he got high and mighty. He said, man, this is my kingdom. Look what I've done. And Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to calm down. You're spreading too much. And he just kept talking. He heard of him. And he said, and he walked around and saw his palace. And Nebuchadnezzar sung this song. He said, it's all about me. Great is my faithfulness in all the earth. And it said, as soon as that word came out of his mouth, God humbled him, and he became like a madman. He lost his mind, and said he was out back grazing on grass. Nails grown long, hair gone crazy. He was a madman on all fours. And it says, he wrote about it, he says, until he looked up and gave glory to God. Then his mind came back to him. God's in control. That's why we Christians don't have to be upset. What's this world coming to? I don't know what's going to happen. I do. The world's coming to Jesus, and I know what's going to happen. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen. I can guarantee that. And I will be there when it happens. Because I'll be already bowed my knee, praising him, saying amen. What about you? So I want you to know that we have a superior Christ. And because of that, we can trust his works and his word. Now, the reason why we can trust his word, because you need to. See, you are who Jesus says you are. Now, no matter what no one says about you, I am what Jesus says about me. I believe it. Now, I don't care what you say about me, what you think about me. When it comes down to it, I am what Jesus says I am. Jesus says I am his sheep, and I believe it. He says I am more than a conqueror through him. I believe it. I believe that. Jesus says I am the righteousness, his righteousness in God. I believe it. He says also the fact that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I believe it. See, at the end of the day, I'm going to believe what Jesus says about me more than what you say about me. I don't believe Jesus because I know that his works and his word is true. Now everybody else got to question it, got to question motives. But what Jesus says about me, I want to believe that and walk it. And you should too. Who are you in Jesus Christ? How are you living your life? Does your life reflect that God is working in you? Can people look at you and say, man, God is working in you? I see something different about you. God is working in you, and I want what you have. It should be. To bring me to my fourth point. Jesus, they wanted to kill him. Now they wanted to arrest him, and he escapes. His time has not yet come. And he leaves the temple. He doesn't come back until Palm Sunday. He leaves the temple. And it says in verse 40, he went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing. maybe where he got baptized also at first. And there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Wow. The significant ministry of John the Baptist. Jesus leaves the temple, goes across to the Jordan where John was baptized and where he got baptized. He's there. And I said again, what did Jesus say about his sheep? They hear my voice, they follow me. And when Jesus left the temple and went across the Jordan, it said that people followed him out of the temple, across the Jordan, and they came to him. And they said, the reason why we're coming to you, because we heard John the Baptist point to you. Now we say, we want you to know, John did no miracles. He didn't open no eyes. He didn't do no miracles. But everything that John said about you has come to pass. It is true. And they believed on Jesus there. Who was John the Baptist? Who was he? Well, the Bible says that he was sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus, to point people to Jesus, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And whenever we see John in John chapter 1, he's preaching, he's baptizing people, and the Pharisees come to him and say, hey, listen, are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. He's like, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. He says, I'm a voice. My voice can be heard in the wilderness, preparing the way. He pointed people to Jesus. And some of John's disciples were the first to believe in Jesus. If you go back and read John chapter 2, John chapter 1, I believe that it was Andrew who went and followed Jesus. As John was baptizing, Jesus walked by, and John said, there he go. That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And they heard him and said, let me go follow him. Rabbi, where you stand? He says, come and see. See, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a ministry. You have a ministry. If you are a Christian, God has left you here for a reason. You have a ministry. We need to take up space. We are to occupy until he come. We have a ministry like John the Baptist. We too have been left here for two reasons: to proclaim the gospel and to point people to Jesus Christ. You have been left here to proclaim the gospel and point people to Jesus Christ. How are you doing with that? Because unfortunately, sometimes when we hear the gospel, as sheep, we believe that now that we're saved, we are the center of Jesus' life. That he lives for us. That is bad theology. Because we are saved, Jesus Christ wants to be the center of my life. And we live for him. But sadly, many of Jesus' sheep never opened their mouth and proclaimed the gospel. Oh yeah, they opened their mouth when they want the shepherd to provide food for them. But they never opened their mouth to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they believe that it's all about what Jesus can do for them, not what Jesus has already done in them. It says that George Barnes says that many Christians go a year to 6 months and never once proclaim the gospel. No neighbor, no co-workers, not even to their own children. And yet that's why we've been left here. Many of us believe we've been left here to have a career. Your career is going to be short time in this life. Eternal life is about Jesus, enjoying him. The career you have now, you won't have in heaven. You have a career of doing one thing, praising God and giving him glory. How are you doing with that now? Many of us are so focused on heaven here, what we can have here, the here and now, that we only talk to Jesus about stuff on earth. What can he give us? Never about how he can use us. There's a wilderness out there, people. It's called our city, our culture. And the question for me and for you is this: are you a voice out there crying in the wilderness? Are you preparing the way for Jesus? Not the his first coming, but his second coming, because he is coming back. Are you preparing the way of Jesus? See, John the Baptist, he proclaimed truth to the people concerning Jesus Christ. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus Christ. And not only that, John the Baptist pleased God by fulfilling his ministry. See, the goal for you and I is this. When you die, because you're going to die, all of us are going to die at some point in time, and you're going to stand before God. You are. And you got to give account for the life you lived. Now, if you're a Christian, you're not giving account for your salvation. God's already taken care of that. That's secure. But you will give account for the life he gave you and what you did, what he gave you. How did you live it? And when you hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." Some people say, "Well, I don't need to hear well done. I just want to get in. I just want to make it in." See, you make it in has nothing to do with you. God is sovereign. So what you're saying, when you say this word, "I just want to make it in, as long as I'm saved, I'm good. I can rest and do nothing else." See, I don't want to make it in. I want to come shouting in. I mean, I want to come in saying, "God, you gave me this one life to live, and I'm telling you what, I gave you all glory, and I thank you for allowing me to partner with you, and because of what you did in my life, I can help but tell people what you did in my life." Amen. And there'll be some people are going to be in heaven. Now, we know salvation is all about God, but there'll be some people ready to point to you and say, "Man, because you shared the gospel with me, I heard the voice of Jesus." See, me, I want to take some people with me. What about you? Who is going to be in heaven because you shared the gospel with them? Who's going to be there because of you? And would Jesus say to you, "You did good. Well done"? Would he say that to you? Or do you even care that he say that to you? The Apostle Paul did. He cared. He cared whether or not Jesus said to him, "Well done." He cared about his ministry. It's so amazing when he cared so much he didn't care about his own life. Look what he says. I'm going to read this to you. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved. Now he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. Now they want to kill Paul. They're out to get him. And he's talking to the elders in Ephesus. And here's what he says to them as he's leaving. He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 18b, he says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia." He said, "You guys know how I lived my life. How? Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 22. "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, meaning I'm being tugged by the Holy Spirit to go, not knowing what will happen to me there. He said, I'm going back to Jerusalem. I don't have a clue what's going to happen to me. Then he says in verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. He said, now I'm going back to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit told me, now when you go, Paul, some chains await you and some beatings await you. Now, most people would say, wait a minute. God, you lead me to a place. You telling me when I get there, they're going to beat me and throw me in jail? You said, no, that's not, the Lord ain't told me that. But Paul says, Lord told him, yeah, you're going. And this won't happen to you. Now, you would think at this point, he would say, not me. Look what he says in verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Wow. He said, I don't count my life of any value. I just want to finish my ministry that God gave me. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, God gives you a grace gift. And he gives you a ministry. And he begins to work in you so that he can work through you. What is a demonstration of your life today that God is working in you and through you? Because God is all about God and his glory. And Jesus Christ was the greatest disciple that ever lived. Because he showed us what a disciple should look like under the authority of the word, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I do everything to glorify my Father. John the Baptist fulfilled his ministry. And you know how John the Baptist died? He died in a prison with his head chopped off. That's how he died. Go back and read your gospel. Here's John the Baptist preparing the ministry of Jesus, and he dies where his head is on a platter. But yet Jesus says, there's none born of woman which is greater than John. Because see, what happens to you on earth doesn't tell the whole story. Yet even though John got his head chopped off, head set on a platter, but yet he's in heaven. And he heard the Father say to him, John, well done. Because he did not count his life precious to him. Paul lost his life too. The Romans chopped his head off too. They beheaded Paul in a Roman prison, chopped his head off. Peter was crucified upside down along with his wife. They killed both of them. And he told his wife as he was dying, honey, remember the Lord. Remember Jesus. See, we have a history of people who have given their life and died for the gospel that we preach. What are you willing to give your life for? What are you willing to give your life for? Why are you here? He left you here because you have a significant ministry. So what's our conclusion? As God's sheep, respond, rejoice, and rest in the love of my great Savior, Jesus Christ. We can rest because we are secure in his hands. We can respond because he is our shepherd. We can rejoice because he's coming back, and we can rejoice because we have a part to play in God's kingdom. I wonder if anyone here has heard the shepherd's voice. Now, I know you've heard my voice. I'm not asking have you heard my voice. I'm asking you, have you heard the shepherd's voice speak to his sheep? Because I don't believe that God will allow me to preach this message and no one, I don't know what he was talking about. God has spoken to you today. And he's calling for you to make a decision. One, if you're not saved, that you repent and come to Jesus today. And two, that if you are saved, that you begin to live your life for the glory of God. That if you are a sheep, that you will be a part of a flock so you can grow, so you can tell others about him. There's number two responses you can make today. Repentance and obedience. The shepherd has spoken to us. And we need to act accordingly to his word. Let's bow our heads. I need you to do business with God.